on our study on the I Ams of Jesus. And that reflection of in here, each one of these declares his deity in all these things. It goes back to the burning bush with Moses. And he says, who will I say sent me? And he says, I am. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn it to John chapter 10. And we're going to look at this, and actually this kind of spills over into next week. We're going to look at Jesus as the good shepherd. But this one, he starts off with that he is the door. Jesus is the door. Verse 7 says, and Jesus said to them, again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I remember years ago, back when Bangor had the seminary there, and they were having a book sale in their library. And so I went there, and big, huge library. I don't know if you guys ever been up the seminary over in Bangor. It closed several years ago, and that's probably a good thing. They weren't really putting out Bible-based preachers out of there for a while. And so I go in there, and they have a whole table full, and I love books. And they had a whole table full of books, and I was looking, and wouldn't you believe it, the books that they were selling, trying to get rid of, were really good, solid Bible books. And so Christian resources are really expensive, so I grabbed the whole bunch, and they're selling them real cheap. I talked to the librarian, she goes, oh, we just want these out of here. We don't like it. And they're, so they're getting rid of the good Bible stuff and keeping a lot of the garbage. But believe it or not, I ended up striking a conversation with someone who was there. There was a student who was there. And nice guy, he was from the county, and you know, my wife says, I've never met a stranger I didn't know. So we sat down and we started talking about life, and I told him I was a pastor, and he was really struggling. He was in his last year of seminary. He goes, he came from I think it was an Assemblies of God church, and came from a solid Bible teaching church. And he goes, you know, I came here full of faith and a desire to serve God. And he goes, over the years at the seminary, they just chipped away at it, chipped away at it. And he goes, I don't even know what I believe anymore. He goes, I'm graduating and not sure of anything. And in there, I tried to reassure him, you know, go back into the Word of God. And he goes, do you believe that God's Word is true? And I said, every word. He goes, well, I came here believing that, and the professor took me to this passage, and he said, look, Jesus says that he is a door. Do you really think Jesus is a door? And he goes, is he wood? Is he oak? Is he, what kind of door is Jesus? And I'm like, really? Right? There are illustrations and similes and metaphors in there that Jesus is talking about. So Jesus wasn't saying that he was an actual wooden door. But in there, yeah, I was shaking my head too. It's like, really? Is that the best you got? But it's interesting. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. And just for a little context, I don't know if you can see the picture here. But in the Middle East, you would herd up your sheep and bring them into town, or you'd go to different places, and you would bring them into a pen. This is a sort of a wooden, sort of a stone one. They would have the same thing, maybe out of wood. But in there, what the shepherd would do is lay down in the front of that door. And so he would declare, right, he is guarding the sheep. The sheep can't get out unless it claws all over them. Right? At camp, my little puppy doggy slept with me. I'm not used to having him in the bed. Yeah, how one little dog could be such a bed hog. And in the middle of the night, he decided, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, that he wants to move around. So he's just stepping on me, just brum, 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 brum. Wake up, all right, what? Lay down. Right? There's no way he was moving around without me knowing. So in here, the shepherd would be that door as a sign of protection, of keeping the sheep inside, that none of them could get out unless he was aware of it. Also, it would keep other things from coming in. But he would be that
door. That's what Jesus is talking about here, right? He's not talking about the idea of, you know, the door of a house or, you know, door of the church. He's not talking about that type of door, but he would be the door of the sheep or the gate. I think the Bible translation says that. So as we read this, this is a picture that he brings before us for to remember. So in that context, he runs back through this, and Jesus said to him again, "Most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." So I just want to pull off a few aspects that what it means that Jesus is the door. The first one is that there is no other way in. There is no other name given among men by which you must be saved. Right? Jesus is it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to look at some of those as you look at the I am's. But he says, look, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Right? Jesus says there's many out there who are trying to lead astray. There are many others trying to divert along the way. Jesus says all of them are false and seek to destroy. You've heard it said that there are many paths to heaven. That is a lie. Actually, Pope Francis, before he passed away, came out. And he had a stage full of different denominations. And he was like, oh, we're all on different paths to the same God. That is not true. That is a lie. Jesus says, I am the door. If you want to enter into heaven, you come through me. Galatians says this, and I marvel that you are turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what is preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so we say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you other than what you have received, let him be accursed. There is only one way to heaven, that is through Jesus Christ. That he is God, he came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for your sins, was buried, rose again on the third day, ascended on high. That if we will repent from our sins and follow him, he will save us. That is salvation. There is no other way. Well, Pastor, that's pretty narrow-minded. It's interesting. Jesus said himself, there is a broad way and there is a narrow way. And the narrow way leads to heaven. So don't be fooled into all this. There are all these different religions that all lead to the same God. That they're all the same God, all by different names. That is a lie. Jesus says, I am the door. There is no other way. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And it's interesting because you can talk about angels, you can talk even about God, you can talk about God, but you really want to put down the line is you start talking about Jesus. And people get all bent out of shape. But Jesus is the door. He is the one we pass through to have eternal life. He is the one who saves, no one else. It's interesting because in the Old Testament, we have a picture that kind of helps us the visualize this for you visual people. The Bible talks about the ark. We were just down Pennsylvania, sights and sound, saw Noah's ark, which is an old show, which I always wanted to see. Finally had the opportunity to go down and see it, and it was good. Right? And I'm not a musical guy. Right? I usually... You know, you watch a movie, someone's like, oh, you gotta watch Fiddler on the Roof. I don't know if you guys have seen Fiddler on the Roof. Oh, it's a great movie. It's like 20 hours long. Yeah, and then someone asked me, he goes, how was it? I said, oh, it was good. You know, if you cut out all the music, it'd be like a half hour. It would have been perfect. And they're like, no, the whole point of it is the musical. You know, if I were a rich man, da-da-da, anyways. So usually I don't do those things, but I appreciate Sights and Sound and the pageantry. The backgrounds are just amazing. The acting is fantastic, and yeah, they do some singing too. But to watch that, and at the last scene of the movie, of the show, one thing I appreciate Sights and Sound is at the end of every show we've seen is they give the gospel, and they have Christ somehow represented in there, and ask people to make a decision, and it's just great that way. And the ark, in this case, the bow of the ship, right? Is that the front, the bow? Okay, good, yeah. Sailing is my life. But in there, it transforms into a cross. A couple years ago, we were, is it Kentucky that has the ark, the museum? Looking at my wife. Answers to Genesis has the ark. And we went down there, and they have a life-size replica of it. And if you get a chance, it is a fantastic scene to see. And you go up, and I think it's the second floor, and they have the door on the side of it. And they put engraved a cross into that door. The ark is a type of Christ. Hebrews tells us this, that by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. That in here, that this condemnation of the world was either you are in the ark or you are not. Right? There's no halfway between. You are in the ark or you're not. You're saved or you're not saved. The question is, where are you today? Have you passed through Christ? Are you entered into that salvation? Yes or no? There is no, I hope. So we tell the ark as a picture of the defining. Are you in it or on it? Peter picks up on this theme. He says, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Now, though Noah preached for 120 years, that in there was no conversion. No one else got saved. But in there, eight, his family, were saved from the waters. Why? Because they were on the ark. If they were out the ark, what? They would have died, they would have perished. Genesis 6, and you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set a door of the ark on its side. And you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. There is a door. Jesus says what? I am the door. There is a door. How many doors on the ark? One. In order to be on the ark, what did you have to go through? The door. There is only one way. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded, and the Lord, what? Shut them in. As we looked at, we reached in about Peter, and we talk about Paul, all these pictures of the ark, that in there is entrance in. And it is the Lord who provides that way. He's the one who draws those in that way. And it's the Lord who keeps us. All that was on the ark were safe, because the Lord shut them in. If you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are safe within His hands. No matter what happens in this world, no matter the storms you face, you are safe within that, because you have passed through that door. The Lord is keeping you. He has sealed you, and He will see you through. That He is the only way. You know, you talk to people who want to have other religions. And one of the things I always kind of come down to is, what about sin? Well, if I'm good enough. Well, the problem is, you're never good enough. Right? Even someone who says that, I worked with a gentleman, and we were talking, and he goes, well, me and God have our own personal thing worked out. I said, oh, really? He goes, all I have to do is keep the Ten Commandments. And if I keep the Ten Commandments, I'm going to heaven. I'm like, well, how's that working for you? He goes, oh, really good. I said, well, not bear false witness. Have you ever lied? Well, yeah.
Jesus said, if you are angry with a brother, you've committed murder in your heart. Have you ever been angry with someone? Yeah. If you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. How are you doing with that? And by the time we were done, we kind of had started off with the Ten Commandments, and we ended up with like three suggestions at the end. And I find it interesting that if you ever have an opportunity to talk to someone who is trying to work their way into heaven, ask them, do you even live up to your own standards? Not even God's, but do you live up to your own? Because we don't. I think if a person is honest, I can't even live up to my own standards, let alone God's. Right? If I do certain sacrifices or do certain prayers or if I give a certain amount of money, then I'll go to heaven. It's interesting because Christianity is the only religion in the world in which the God who is holy and just is the one who provides us salvation. Because I couldn't earn it, he came and died in my place. And because of that, Jesus is that door. He is the only way. We talk the idea of him being the door of the sheep means he is a provider of life. Notice what it says here in verse 10. It says, a thief does not come in except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have what? Life. That you may have life. Next week we're going to talk about the idea of Jesus is the good shepherd. So we'll pick up on some of these themes that play out further. But I'm just thinking of the, you know, if you say a lamb out into the wilderness, it will not survive out there long. It's hard to believe that my little dog, my little 20-pound Shih Tzu, is somehow related to the wild wolf in the wilderness. Because my little doggy would not live any length of time by himself in the woods. He'd be a snack somewhere along the way real quick. We come home and I'm in a little camper up at the camp and, you know, we go home, my wife has the air conditioning, and my poor dog was like, he likes the air conditioning. So we go home. As soon as we get home, my little dog goes running up, finds out where the spot where the AC blows on him, curls down, lays down, he's like, it's like, all right, you're way too cushy. And I think of a lamb out in the wilderness, it would not survive long. It has no defense. It cannot provide for itself. And how blessed it is for the sheep to be found by the shepherd who's brought into the fold where he is taken care of. And Jesus likens himself to that door and he says, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That in here, he becomes our provider. In this world, it's dog eat dog, watching out for yourself. Right? Watching out for number one. And we see that play out in the world around us. People are grabbing and pushing and trying to do all. And yet, those who are in Christ, I know that he provides. He is the one who takes care of me. Isaiah says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and what not be afraid. For yea, the Lord, or Yahweh, the Lord, or God, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. As Christians, as we bask in who he is, folks, what a blessing we have as he gives us life. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He provides comfort and love for us. He gives us songs in the night. As I told the kids at camp, I said, you can go through life with or without him. Bad things are still going to happen. Life is still difficult. But it's so much better to go through it with Christ, that he is our provider. The Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He becomes the source of our life, the source of our hope. Because if left on my own, I would not get far. You see, the Lord is one who provides. Well, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And look at this last bit. And will go in and out
and fine pastures. Think of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, what I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He's the good shepherd. We're going to look at that next week. But in here, from the sheep's point of view, the Lord provides us. He refreshes us. He comforts us. When I can't make it go any further, He picks me up and carries me. He provides. And sometimes it's scary, right? Because I don't know how the Lord will provide. You ever been in a place where you're kind of like, you know, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, but I don't know how it's all going to work out? The Lord will provide. Do you believe that? Do you trust in Him? We spent a big portion this morning praying for health issues and safety issues. And why do we do that? Because we have a God who hears us and a God who provides. He answers prayer. We have the promise of God. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Notice what He says. He doesn't provide all our wants. The Lord always doesn't give us what we want, but the Lord always gives us what we need. But you want to know the good part? The Lord also gives us a lot of our wants. He's good that way. Right? Has the Lord ever provided over and above what you needed? That's the goodness of God. I have a little book at home from a pastor, and it's just this quick little thing he wrote. It's called Stories on the Way Home. And he goes, he always kept a prayer journal, and so he'd pray about things and he'd write it down. And over the years, he's got volumes and volumes of things where he's prayed and God has answered them in different ways. And one of them he came down through and he compiled his, you know, probably his 20 favorite ones in this little book, Stories on the Way Home. And one of them he talks about, he was doing a project at the church, and he was down in the basement hooking up some lights or something like that, working away. And he goes, yeah, he just thought about, you know, Lord, I could go for a ham sandwich. That's what it was. I could go for a ham sandwich. Doesn't a ham sandwich sound really good? Almost lunchtime. And he goes, it was just a simple prayer. And then a couple of ladies were doing something upstairs. And all of a sudden, one of them comes downstairs and said, Pastor, we've been putting together we have a funeral, something that's coming up. And, you know, we're putting together a plate together. And she goes, we got everything on the plate except for one sandwich that couldn't fit on the, would you be interested in that sandwich? Well, if you know pastors, oh, of course. I mean, we wouldn't want to offend anyone. Feel free. Drop me off food anytime. And so they're like, well, here's the sandwich. He sits down and opens it up, and guess what? It was a ham sandwich. Right? And it was just kind of interesting all along the way how the Lord just answered these little things. We were just down, sight and sound, and because of, I'll say, my lack of foresight, we didn't plan ahead, so we didn't have tickets, and we're like, Is this the third time we went down without plans? I can't remember. You know, we're like, Lord, we would really like seats, and we need three together. And I told you guys when we came back that the lady's like, no, there's nothing. She goes, well, let me refresh it one more time. He goes, oh, someone just canceled, and there's three seats right together. You know, I don't serve the Lord all for what He does for me. And the Lord never does anything for me. He's still worthy to be praised. But I'm so thankful that He is a loving Father who gives us what we want sometimes. He's good. And I'm sure we can do testimonies of the time when God has been good to you and has given and provided, opened the door, where God has supplied all of your needs. And this is future tense too. I want to encourage you in your life. The Scripture says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. The Lord will provide. He will take care of you. Just keep your eyes on Him. But He is the door. He is the provider. He tells the sheep, it's time to go out. Right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, restores my soul. They're in here. And the idea that Jesus being the door, I imagine, you know, as the sheep come out, they go out.
could do that, but you know what? They always know when to come home. Jesus said, the sheep hear my voice. He calls out to them, and they come back. But there's a safe place for you to always come back to. Was it Motel 6? They'll leave the light on. Do you remember the old commercial? Is that Motel 6? Okay. Because I know there's like a Motel 8. I don't think there's a 9, but I know it was one of those. But yeah, we'll leave the light on. The idea is we're always open, right? You always have a place to stay. And how comforting that is in a world. Right? We deal with so many people who are homeless. I was shocked of the amount of teens they say are homeless who are bouncing from house to house or living on couches who don't have a place. And it just breaks my heart to see this. I shared a little bit in Sunday school that hanging out with these teens and hearing their testimonies. Some of these home and family life of some of these kids is just heartbreaking. And the gospel, the fact that there is a God that loves them, so resonates so strong with these kids. That there is a certainty and there is a surety in their life. That He is the rock of their salvation. And how blessed it is for us. As we go out and come and go, the Lord provides for us. He opens the door. He brings us back in when we need to. The Lord gives us abundant life. He gives us abundant life. John 10, notice what it says here in verse 10. It says, I have come that they may have life and they may have it, what, more abundant. Abundant life. You know, sometimes we feel like we're just scraping by. Christian, we shouldn't be just scraping by. You are the child of the King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords knows your name. He has gone to prepare a place for you, and He will come again for you. You are not forsaken. He has given you the Holy Spirit. I love that where He talks about, I will not leave you orphans. We're not abandoned. We're not forsaken. We have a God who's ever with us, never present with us. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. Christian, you are so blessed. You are so blessed. Lord has given you, provided for you. That in here, we have a hope. And we can have a joy that this world cannot take away as we keep our eyes on Him. What a mighty God we serve. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Oh yeah, that one you know. All right. But it's so true. You know, I grew up in church. I swore that some of the Christians I met were the most sour pussy people I've ever seen. You almost think the communion was lemon juice. I mean, it was just like, right? And some of them the most miserable people. I remember a pastor was doing a sermon on the joy of the Lord. And he had the congregation sing the song. And this is a simple Sunday school song. I don't know if you guys know that or not. It goes, I'm so happy and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. I don't know if you guys ever heard that song. And once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus, I'm not going to sing it all. But it was funny because he had the congregation sing this. And no fooling, everyone was standing up and they're like, I'm so happy and here's the reason why. And like, yeah, right. Right, where's the joy of the Lord in our lives?
We're at Enfield Baptist Church, and we had a community event. I can't remember, but in there we had a bluegrass Christian group play. And over on the side on the lawn, there was a couple chairs, and there was a couple older ladies from the church that were sitting there. And you listen to bluegrass music, and it's got a little bit of beat, it's got a little bit of a rhythm to it, and in there's three ladies, and the middle lady started going, clapping along to the music, and she was kind of tapping her foot. And one of the other ladies looked at her and kind of was like, all put out. She goes, "You're clapping?" She's like, "Yep." She goes, "What would your sister say?" I'll never forget that. I shared this, I think, a couple Sunday nights ago. And the lady's clapping her hands. She goes, "Well, she's dead." Like, she's not here. I'm going, Christian, the joy we have should overflow through us to those around us. An abundant life. God doesn't want us just to scrape by. Sing the hymn, "Count Your Blessings," name them one by one. Folks, God is so good to us. You have more than you need, and definitely more than you deserve. And we serve a God who gives us that abundant life if we will pass through Him. Jesus says, "I am the door." We enter through. He is the way of salvation. There is no other way. He is our provider. He takes care. He's the one who makes a way when we don't know which way to go. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We are encouraged and strengthened by it. Lord, I just have that picture of the shepherd in front of the pen, Lord. It's for safety, for guidance, for protection. And Lord, you do all those things to us. Lord, you are the door of my salvation. Lord, you are the door of my provision. And Lord, as we talked at the end, Lord, give us an abundant life in you. Lord, we ask this in your name.